I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me here. I know my voice sounds, I don't know what's going on with my allergy. It's my...
You look good in your jacket.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I noticed something when you were here earlier today that's a Harley Davidson jacket.
Yes, it is.
And so, you know, I was like, well, that's still a nice leather jacket. Mm-hmm. But now that I recognize that it's a name brand Harley Davidson jacket, that makes it even more...
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. They.
That's not you're like, hey, here's a junky old leather jacket.
Oh, they gave me a chance to pick. They had jackets. They let me pick what I wanted.
Okay.
There was some that was even nicer than this, but they were. One was too big. One was too small. It's like, no.
So that's the Little Bear jacket then.
Just
a Little Bear jacket.
Probably.
It's not Mama Bear. It's not Daddy Bear.
No, this is little OC's jacket.
OC Bear jacket.
Little OC Bear jacket.
It looks nice.
Thank you.
And whatever that embroidery is on the back, it's pretty intricate. It's pretty.
Again, it's even
just that embroidery in the back probably costs like $100-$200 to put on there. $100 maybe. In Korea, it would have been $25, but right over here, it's like $100. Mm.
Well, I'm very thankful, and that's why I wear it.
No, I like it.
I wear it because they gave it to me.
Right.
Second is, it gets people attention, and they want to come and talk to me.
Is that right?
Oh, I've had so many people just stopped and stared at me, and I said, "What's going on?" Hey, I said, "Yeah," immediately the military came up. You know, and I was able to talk to them, and they was able to talk to me. It's a good icebreaker.
Yeah, sure. It's a nice jacket.
Good icebreaker. But, you know, that's not why we came here to talk.
No, we'll talk about whatever. I mean, I wrote a whole bunch of notes about Caitlin Clark and some of the things that... were sticking out to me about that. I wonder if I have those available.
And may I ask who is that?
I'm going to explain it to you here. So okay. Caitlin Clark is that young white girl that's in the WNBA, and she's breaking records and everything, and people are upset about it.
Oh.
Let me see if I can pull this up.
And why are they upset?
Because she's white.
Really?
Right, because she's white and she's doing good things.
Oh wow!
It would have been, I guess, really. I'm going to get into it, but, and I don't want to sound prejudiced, but, First off, number one, I'm not prejudiced. Okay,
we're all prejudiced.
I'm prejudiced against certain cultural behavior.
Well,
but I'm not prejudiced against people of color. I know many people of color who are wonderful people.
Right, some.
And I know many people who are white folks that are just downright losers.
Trashy. This morning when I was pulling out, I said something to my wife. I said, "You're bougie and I'm redneck."
Is that what you said?
Oh, I told her that because she made some comment. I said, "Well, that's just the way we are." I said, "You're bougie and I'm redneck. It doesn't really matter to me, as long as I can drive somewhere with duct tape on it. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
As long as it's working, as long as it's doing the job, it does. Appearance is not always my main focus."
Yeah, that's a guy thing.
It is a guy thing.
Although there are guys who are bougie, you know,
we know two or three bougie people.
Yeah, I'm not bougie, but on the other side, I don't like, you know, I'm not trying to look like a bum either.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, there is that redneck look.
Okay, there is something about people saying, "Hey, you know, that's a nice shirt you got on."
Right.
You know. So I mean, the shirt I'm wearing right now, believe it or not, is like a $50 shirt. No, $60 shirt. This is a $60 shirt.
Nice.
And people are like, they'll see this and they'll think, "Oh yeah, it's a polo. It's a nice polo." Mm-hmm. "Oh, that's a nice polo." Well, yeah, of course it's a nice polo because it's a $60 polo.
It should be.
Right.
Yes.
And I got other ones. This is Adidas that I'm wearing. Mm-hmm. And then the other ones in my, you know, back there, I've got a whole bunch of Reebok ones. I love the Reebok ones too. Those are like $45, $50 each.
Right.
So they're not Walmart pullovers, you know. They're not Walmart shirts. And you could tell when somebody's wearing a Walmart shirt.
Right.
So anyways, going back, you know, going back to this girl who's, so before WNBA, everyone's complaining, oh, we're not getting paid as much as the pro men. It's not fair. We should get more.
Right.
But they weren't bringing in any money. Nobody cared about the WNBA.
Nobody cares about, no.
Nobody cared until this girl comes along.
Right.
Right. And from my perspective, okay, she can shoot, she can play basketball, but the thing that really makes me like notice her is she's like a serious team player. She's not just out there just for herself. She has a lot of assists. You know, she does a lot of assists with people.
Right.
And also she's her demeanor is very professional.
Yes.
So she's real professional.
Right.
There's been a lot of people who have bullied her on the court.
Mm-hmm.
She just get up and brush it off and like, okay, whatever. So, you know, this is the deal. She's portraying leadership, teamwork, class, professionalism, mm-hmm. whereas the other people are portraying victimhood, mm-hmm. thug mentality, mm-hmm. bullying, mm-hmm. and a lack of overall effort. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
They just don't. They figure, well, I'm good enough to be in the WNBA, so I shouldn't have to really put forth any effort.
Correct.
And I might get into it here. I think I do get into it later in these notes. People want to see effort. They want to see effort.
Correct.
If they're going to a game, they don't want to see people doing stuff and it just seems effortless to them.
Well, that's just in life. I mean, that's funny because I'm glad she's, because I was thinking that today, that effort, putting in the effort. A lot of times people don't want to put in the effort. They just want, again, we made that statement. They want to be returning missionaries. They want to be coming back, not going to and doing the work. Someone said something to me this week. They was going to do blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I went, okay, we'll see. Guess what? It didn't get done.
They didn't do it.
No. But they want to get praise and they want a payment without doing the effort. They want to get paid. They want to put in $50 effort, but want to get paid for $100 effort.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not, it's just not right. Just not right. It's so many times, not so many times, sometimes we get in this mind frame like we deserve something.
Yeah, see, that's the next thing right
we
there.
We deserve something.
Says when people think they deserve something, but they don't understand the cost of success.
They don't want to put in the sacrifice.
They don't want to put in the effort, right? Exactly.
No,
you can't say, first off, you can't say that these people aren't putting in some kind of effort because they must be putting in some effort.
Yes, but to go to the next level.
Yeah, they're not going to the next level.
In order to go to the next level, mm-hmm. you have to put in the effort that's in the next level. Mm-hmm. You have to, whatever it takes to go up, you can't put in the same effort thinking, oh, I'm gonna raise my level, my mm-hmm. ability or whatever, or position. You can't. You have to change. You have to do more in order mm-hmm. to elevate. And so many times people have maxed out.
Mm-hmm.
They maxed out, bro.
That's just who they are, right?
They maxed out. And they can't accept it.
They can't go further, yeah.
And they can't accept the fact that they maxed out.
Right.
That's all you got.
That's all you got to give.
That's all you got to give. But you, and that's why I say so many times, be yourself. Just accept who you are. Don't lie to yourself. Be honest to yourself. This is what I am. This is what I can do, mm-hmm. and this is what I can't do. This is what I can do, and this is what I can't do. And when you tell yourself that and you know that, it doesn't matter what the other person is doing. You're not focused on what the other person is doing. You focus on what you can do, what you can bring to the team.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, a lot of people bring more to the team than you do. And there's that inferiority complex that comes in. And say, oh, you're not worth anything. The Bible tells us, can the eye say to the ear, you can't see? That mean you're not part of the body. Mm-hmm. So many times, these people that's hating on this woman, mm-hmm. they should be rejoicing that she's in, because mm-hmm. She's given light to the
whole WM, sport, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they said that this is the first time they've ever had charter flights.
Oh wow!
They were always going commercial. They'd have to go on an airplane, get a commercial ticket to get to the next game,
right?
And ride with everybody else,
right?
But he says now they get private airplanes,
right?
And that brings me to the question here: why is she hated? Right? Instead of being celebrated, why is she hated?
Because she's a white girl playing a black girl sport.
Because she comes along and she's a white girl and she's showing these people how to do the game, and yes, they don't want that at all.
They don't want that at all.
They don't want that at all.
No, like, nobody wants that.
If anybody was going to come and tell them how it should be done,
mm-hmm.
This was the least person right. for that to happen.
Right, right. Because right. they've been doing it for so long.
Right, where are you coming off coming
why
in
you,
here?
Why
and
are
you
changing?
You didn't climb up the rough
you
road
like
get
we
here.
Did.
Right, exactly.
Right, exactly.
So therefore, you don't belong here because you didn't climb up the rough road.
Bro.
Oh, right.
This is I'm telling
which
you.
Which nobody
right
really.
Now,
I don't really know. I don't really know this girl's background
this
and where
life,
she
though.
Came from. But
this,
whatever.
This is. This is not just basketball. This is in every aspect of our life. So many times, someone comes along and say something or doing something, and it's like it's easy for them. Everybody's saying, "Oh man, that's so easy. Oh wow, he's good. Man, he's really good." And you've been doing this for like 20 years,
yeah.
And all of a sudden this little kid comes in and he's killing it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's killing it.
Yeah.
And then there's that pride that comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm seasoned. I've been doing this for years. I don't need to change my game.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you should change your game. Maybe you should change mm-hmm. what you're doing, because what you're doing, you're still scoring 10 points.
Right.
That's all you're scoring.
Yeah.
Why not? If you're going to elevate, you got to change what you're doing. But some people, they don't want to change what they're doing.
That I don't think. Yeah, I don't think. Not only should they change, I don't think that they even comprehend.
Nope, they don't.
The concept of changing.
No, they don't.
Because so going back to the hating part, you know, we're living in a society where it's like, look, if you're not making it,
mm-hmm.
then it's obviously somebody else's fault. And
correct.
You have a right to be hateful.
Correct.
You have a right to be angry, right? So yes. Instead of like, you know, self-examination, introspection, you know, looking at yourself, the whole cultural atmosphere has been to, you know, ride this hate wave.
Yes.
It's like, I know how to get more customers to come to my corporation. I'll just explain to them that we understand their trial. We understand
right.
what they're going through.
Right.
And we're in your corner.
Right.
It's like, these folks aren't in your corner. Those folks want to be in your wallet. That's
they
the only
want,
place.
Yes.
Or they want your vote, you
yes.
know. They
yes.
have no personal interest in mm-hmm. you and your success.
Right.
If they have personal interest in you and your success, they would tell you the tough
They'd
things.
They'd tell you the truth.
They would tell you you need to work on your free throws.
Yes.
You need to work on your three-pointers.
Yes,
you need to work on your assists.
Yes.
You need to work on your leg work or your ball handling or, you know, whatever it is. I'm not, you know, like, I don't know a whole lot about basketball. I know a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like there's so many aspects
to
that game.
I coached.
Well, then you would know that.
The fundamentals.
Not just the fundamentals, but mastering those fundamentals.
But that's what I'm saying. You can't get better until you master the fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of I can't even watch it anymore. I can't even watch the sport of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much traveling. There's carrying.
Right.
There's fouls. There's 3 seconds in the lane. All those things.
Yeah.
I mean, the sorry ball handling that they have, they don't even teach that anymore. They all they teach is you got to look good. You know, you're looking good. You know, you got the right bandana on. You got the right color on. Your short fits. Yeah. You got the right shoes. Nothing about the fundamental of the game itself is taught anymore.
Yeah, listen to this. This is an article I read here on Larry Bird. Even if I was done shooting jumpers, I'd still shoot my 100 free throws. Mm-hmm. Always hit in the high 90s. I'd try every summer to five times hit 99 in a row and then bank number 100. Have to do it five times. You go and shoot 20, get off the line, get out of that rhythm, then get back on it. I mean, this man had a basketball in his hand 8 or 10 hours a day. Mm-hmm. You know, he was dedicated to what he was doing.
Yes.
Dedicated to what he was doing.
So how are you going to master the ball if you never pick it up?
Well, I'm not saying that these people don't practice basketball, but I'm just saying to be the master of something is going to require like a level of dedication that is painful.
Yes.
And it's people don't want, there are a lot of people out there, like you said. There's a lot of people where certain things come to them naturally, okay? And some of these people, like, you know, a good example is WNBA. There's girls in there playing basketball. Mm-hmm. They have a natural, you know, a natural ability to play that game. Mm-hmm. And that they think that, well, that should be enough. Right. And they're like, no, it's not enough.
It's not enough.
Because if you do that, then somebody like this girl is going to come along and just steamroll you.
Steamroll you. Because, right over you.
Because you're not putting in the effort to compete at that next level.
Correct.
Yeah, you may have been winning games in high school and you may have been winning games in college or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you may have been winning games in pro basketball with people who haven't been applying themselves.
Correct.
Now all of a sudden you get this freight train coming in. Right, who's been working at this thing since they were 12 years old.
Dedicated to it.
And they have the same, you know, abilities. You know, they have the same, maybe the same natural ability, but they have just drove themselves to be the best. And I'm not necessarily saying this woman has done this, but it's obvious she's, you know, trying to apply what she, you know.
Cultivated.
That's
the word I was trying. I'm sorry. I was trying
to. No, I'm glad you did that.
Cultivated.
Yeah, I'm glad you noticed that.
Oh, man. We don't cultivate our skills or anything, even in Christianity, even in life and work. We was talking about work today. And, you know, so many times I had someone tell me, you know, you're not a Chris OC, you're not a good worker, you're not a good employee. Because you don't go and just sit and do what you're told.
Yeah.
You're always trying to get better. Most employees don't want that.
Employers
don't want that.
Yeah,
they just want somebody to come in, sit down, do what you say,
right,
stay as long as they want you to stay, and then leave. Not to, because you start to be a threat to them when you start taking on more stuff. You start developing. You started learning new things. Mm-hmm. You start giving your suggestion. Hey, why don't we do this? This would be more helpful if we. And that's a threat to them.
Right. You know, I saw something. I don't know where I saw it. News, whatever. Okay, it doesn't make a difference. There's this man who was a professional rock climber, and he went to a arm strength competition of some sort. I don't think it was arm wrestling. It was some kind of arm strength competition. And these people, he noticed that he just didn't belong there because his strength was so far advanced from these people.
Oh, wow.
Right, he just didn't belong there, and these people thought that they had some sport going on or whatever.
Right,
and he just comes in there and he just blows them out of the water.
Right.
But this is where he came to the conclusion was, I don't belong in this room. Mm. I'm in the wrong room. right? I belong somewhere else,
right?
At a higher level, doing something, you know, than being around these folks.
Yes,
because these folks are going to bring me down.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Listen to Michael Jordan. Somebody talking about Michael Jordan. Something about a documentary called The Last Dance. Mm-hmm. A man named Armstrong pointed out something in the documentary. Everyone talks about the GOAT, mm-hmm. but watching The Last Dance was the tip of the iceberg. What it didn't show you was, and this is a man, I guess, who knew Jordan personally, mm-hmm. his preparation was by far superior to any player I've ever seen.
Yep, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
The dedication, the work that he put in.
Absolutely.
The hours that he put
People want to be great, but they don't want to put in the effort. They just don't want to put in the effort. I want to be great. And I desire to be great. You don't understand. I got a dream to be great.
Yeah.
But there's no effort.
Right. We get a lot of people like that in church. They're like, well, I want to teach the Bible and I want to do this, that, or the other. And I'm like, you know, this is really good because it's like our church. It's mm-hmm. like here me and you are, we're doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And you know that not everybody gets to do what we do.
Correct.
Right. And not everybody gets to be in the quote unquote limelight as much as we do, believe it or not.
Right.
And not everybody gets to teach. Not everybody gets to tell people stuff.
No.
And you gotta know your stuff, man.
Bro.
You gotta know what you're talking
Again,
about.
Again, I told you called me Sunday morning. I was right there already studying. I was already right there. God, I was already dealing with my heart. I mean, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I should be asleep. Like, mm-hmm. I can't sleep. I got to get up. You know, there's some other things going on. I was like, I just got to go down here. I said, Lord. And then you call. A lot of people are ready for greatness because they're in the moment of greatness.
Right. I talked to you about that, too, about, you know, you can't be a preacher. God is not going to be able to give you messages if you're not already swimming in the Word of God.
If you're not swimming, right.
In the Word of God. Because if you may know certain things in the Bible and God could give you information and do whatever.
Right.
And then the other thing is that God doesn't always, that very rarely does God direct people to talk about something that they're reading or studying or whatever. But if you're not constantly reading and studying the Bible,
wanting to know more,
understand more, try to comprehend what's going on, what it means or whatever, then you're not going to be able to say anything.
No.
You're not going to have anything to say.
You have nothing to say.
And
that's, I think, going back to this girl, she has this attitude of, well, why does it happen like that? Yeah, she's no doubt, she's like, oh, well, why did the ball bounce like that? Or how can I make it a spin different?
Mm-hmm.
And so many times people, they don't want to put in that effort because they'll fail.
Now, listen to this. Again, in that, I don't have it pasted in these show notes, but I do remember reading when I was reading about Larry Bird that as he was throwing these free throws,
mm-hmm.
he would notice that when he missed, he would notice where he missed, right?
Yes.
And he would notice where he was, and they kept, like, documentation.
Yes.
Like, this is where I'm hit, this is where I'm missing, and this is, and he could see that there was a tendency to go in a certain direction.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I got to work on that.
Yes.
I got to work on that, keeping it, noticing that, you know, how my body is throwing
Oh, come on
and, now. And getting that corrected.
Come on now.
Right? Getting
come
that corrected.
Yes.
How did I feel when that ball left my hand, you know?
Come on now.
Right?
Come on.
And so,
come on.
There's a lot of people out there, they can throw the ball, they can get the ball in, they can do everything that needs to be done.
But, then,
but they don't have those nuances.
They're not. You said it. They are not the student of the game. There's a difference when you're the student
mm-hmm,
of the
right.
game. You learning. You constantly wanting to learn. Like you just said, Larry Bird. Okay, I got to change that. Okay. So many times people are done learning. I don't want to learn. I know everything.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they. I already
That's
know.
Exactly the
I know.
Spirit that these people
I know.
Have. I know that.
I know. I know that.
Right. Yeah, they don't show up to practice.
Yeah, Oh, I could do that if I wanted to do that. Yeah, I know. I know what she's doing. But you're not doing it. You're not doing it, though. If you knew how to do it, you would be doing it. But you don't, because you quit studying. You quit studying. People quit studying life. Literally, people quit studying life.
Yeah.
They just quit. I don't need to get into better. I don't need to improve on anything.
Even just a level of frustration and saying, I'm just not going to do this no more.
Exactly.
Right. I'm not putting forth any more.
I'm not going to put it.
I'm not going to get ahead anyway.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So. They don't take failure as a learning tool. That's a learning tool.
Yeah.
I just went through something just last 2 weeks. So from where I was in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And where I failed and some things that I reacted to. And it's come back. It's come back full. I mean, and I went, and someone said, I said, I already won this battle.
Right.
I learned. When I failed, I knew where I failed. I knew how I failed. I knew the attitude I had when I failed.
Yeah.
I mean, you talking about Larry, we were talking about the feeling. I knew the feeling, bro.
Right.
I knew the feeling. When the call came, I said, oh, okay, Lord, here we go. Mm-hmm. So you want me to take this test again? Okay. Mm-hmm. I got the answers, though.
Yeah.
I got the answers. Right. You've given me years to study.
Mm-hmm.
You've given me years to study this test.
Right.
I can pass it this time. And not... I don't say that in pride.
Understand.
But I see the test.
Uh-huh.
I see the answers.
Right.
And it's like, no, I'm not going to fail this time. Yeah.
Listen to some of these, and this is exactly where you're at right now. Less grift, more grit.
Yes.
Less takers, more makers.
Mm-hmm.
Less whiners, more drivers. Extrospection, more introspection.
Mm. Mm.
Less looking outside at other people and what they're doing and blaming other people, and more looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, how can I make myself better? Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the reason for my fall?
That is awesome.
And I know you've heard this one. The solution to the problem
is in the problem. Yes.
It's not out of the problem. It's in the problem.
The lady that I talk to every week, she said this to me. She said, Chris, you got to quit owning other people's feelings.
Right.
You can't own other people's
feelings. And letting them affect you. Right.
You can't own their feelings. They going to act that way. They going to do that away.
Uh-huh.
Their feelings, they going to get their feelings hurt. It doesn't matter how you say it. It doesn't, you can, even if they told you to say it the way they want you to say it, you still going to mess it up.
Uh-huh.
And they still going to get an attitude. They're still going to get mad. They're still going to get sad. It's like, Chris, OC, stop owning people's feelings. They don't belong to you. It belongs to them.
Right.
Their feelings belong to them.
Exactly. And it kind of goes back to, you know, what Pastor Davis used to say. I'm not going to let another man cause me to go to hell.
That's it.
Right. Let their words or their attacks or whatever. That's a very powerful message.
Yes.
Because the reality is we're living every day, all of us, every day throughout history.
Mm-hmm.
We're humans. All of us are humans.
Yes, we are.
The church is humans.
Yes.
And they're gonna make the bad decisions. They're gonna make painful decisions. They're gonna make hurtful decisions.
Yes, they are.
They're gonna say hurtful things.
Yes, they are.
And the you cannot look to God and say, fix that person.
No, you can't. No, you cannot.
Fix that person.
Bro, you cannot.
Because God's like letting that person come into your life to touch that sore spot. Right. And not that he is like, not that the Bible says he doesn't tempt a man because he's not tempted of anything.
Right.
But he allows things to come into people's life.
Yes, absolutely.
And even, and the thing is like a lot of people will say, well, I understand things coming into people's lives from sinners and stuff like that. Mm-mm. Oh, no. Uh-uh. No. That's no. not even close That's to not the even worst close. Battle.
No.
The worst battle is when you're somebody, dealing with leaders and stuff like that.
Somebody that you thought you trust.
Right, exactly.
That had your back.
Right. And then they back up over you. And you're like, but I thought we were working together. Yes. But you cannot get bitter about
you
that.
You cannot get bitter. No, you cannot. You
can't get bitter
you
about
can't.
It.
You can't. You can't. You got to keep your heart sweet. You got to keep your spirit sweet, regardless of what is going on. Because when the bottom line's set, there's only two things you can control, your attitude and your effort. Your attitude and your effort. Your mindset. Mm-hmm. To what you think, because again, you know, she said, people just gonna think the way they want to think. They are. You can mm-hmm. look at Jesus. He was a perfect man.
Yeah, but what did they do was find fault.
Oh, he was old the devil. He's sitting with sinners. he's doing, don't he know that she's a sinner? He letting that sinner touch him. Jesus? See the kids away. Why are you letting these kids? It's right. like you can't. You cannot
can't win.
Win.
For losing. Right.
You cannot win.
Right.
And when you live your life, and I know this lady, probably her parents or whoever has taught her, mm-hmm. probably said, "You gonna have haters. You cannot live your life according to the haters. You cannot give in to their hatred. Mm-hmm. You cannot give in to the bitterness that they're spewing out. Mm-hmm. You can't give in to those emotionals. But you got to maintain your goal. What is your goal? Not somebody else's goal. Because everybody have different vision. Everybody has a different point of view from everybody has different point of views.
Right. Well, not even if you don't have a vision, right? Even if you don't have a vision, you still have responsibility. Well, even if you don't have a vision or you don't have a goal, mm-hmm. you still have responsibility.
Yes, you do.
You still have a responsibility to God.
Yes.
You still have a responsibility to Christian leadership.
Yes.
You still have a responsibility to your fellow man.
Yes, you do.
A lot of people are out there and they're fighting to find some kind of grandiose mission in life. Mm-hmm. And they're going to burn away and waste away mm-hmm. trying to find this grand vision or mission for their life mm-hmm. when in reality, like I said before, if God's not giving you a ministry, if God's not giving you a message, if God's not speaking to you about something, then I'm going to tell you what you should be doing every day. I got a mission for you.
Yes, go ahead.
Read your Bible.
Absolutely.
Study 100%. Your Bible.
100%.
Pray.
Pray.
Pray. And you know something, somebody, I was reading it, is that book's right there in front of you.
Yes.
Christ in the School of Prayer mm-hmm. by Andrew Murray. And in the beginning of that book, he said, we are to be conformed mm-hmm. to the image of Christ. Mm-hmm. Okay. We are to be conformed means with form. Right. We are to be shaped in the image of Christ.
Right.
And he said, what is Christ's main job right now? Right now, as I speak to you over this microphone.
Intercession.
As he maketh intercession for the saints. That's continually.
It. Yes, continually.
And it's like, you want to be like Christ. It's not about going out and doing the big things. It's about getting up and saying, hey, pray for Brother Chris. God help Brother Chris. Help his marriage. So, help what they're going through. Help his wife heal, you know, and help brother with his battle. And help him to get over it. Go ahead.
But I say it's not even that, bro. It's cultivating the fruits of the Spirit. Everybody wants the gifts of the Spirit, but nobody wants the fruit of the Spirit, which mm-hmm. is love, mm-hmm. peace,
yeah.
long suffering, all these other things that are hard for us as mm-hmm. human, you know. Oh, Everybody wants, oh, I'm an intercede for you, Brother McCree. God's tell, that's easy. God's telling me, Brother McCree, that you need to do such and such.
Well, no, hold on. That's not the same as intercession, okay?
No.
If I go up to somebody and I say, I'm praying for you about this, that, or the other, and I'm going to intercede for you, that's baloney, okay? Right. What I'm saying is that in your prayer closet, right, secretly,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You go before the Lord. Mm-hmm. And instead of like coming out there with your Christmas list of everything,
right,
that you want from God, you say, okay, you know, you say, let me do this first before I get off on that tangent. You say, Lord, you are an intercessor. You pray for other people. I'm going to pray for other people. I'm going to try my best to think about them. And mm-hmm. what is it about them that I know to the best of my ability? I'm not trying mm-hmm. to get in people's business, mm-hmm. but you know people, you know something about people, right, certain people,
right?
And you start praying. Well, okay, well, I know that this is going on. I know, right. And let me tell you something. When you do that, mm-hmm. then you start loving people. You start caring about people. God starts burning something in your heart for people, and you start getting the fruit of the Spirit. There's just something about prayer that changes a person.
Yes and no. I agree with you. We're talking about why these people hate this woman.
Yeah, okay. We can bring it back too.
So,
that's for sure.
Because you, again, when you go, you're going outside of yourself. This is what they've done. They go, they can go out. And you probably, if you ask him, oh, I'm praying for her. Oh, I'm praying for her. No, you really, how can you pray for somebody and hate them at the same time? That's why I'm saying that we focus on the outward instead of the inward. Mm-hmm. The inward is the fruits, love, peace, long-suffering.
Right.
If you have those, you mm-hmm. will intercede. You will intercede or pray for people and ask God to have mercy on them, because those are the, that's what the fruit does. It makes you act a certain way. So many people, they want to look on the outside. Well, that brother's having a problem, or that sister's having a problem. But they're not looking on their inside and say, what am I lacking? What fruit am I lacking mm-hmm. in my life? Just like they're not looking, they're looking at that lady and they're saying, oh, look, oh no, she, they're not looking at themselves and saying, man, why can't I do what she does? Mm-hmm. What am I lacking in my life that I can't do what she does? What attitude that I'm missing?
Right. Or even notching it up a level and saying, you know, so instead of just saying, okay, this person's better than me,
mm-hmm.
really maybe a better answer, let me be careful how I couch this, but maybe a better answer would be, I need to prove myself. I need to work on myself.
Yes.
And I need to, because, you know, like a lot of sports, a lot of any real professional sports, mm-hmm. from what I understand, and this is all based on movies I've seen, but real professional sports, you know, there are people, you know, physically prowess, you know, there is the physical prowess of it, right? There is the effort that the people are, how they're playing or whatever. But I'm going to go ahead and just talk about this for just a second. A lot of it is, them studying the sport, and studying what other teams are doing and such. But like, what I'm trying to say is that you're good. You're good. But talking about studying the sport instead of studying the people.
Yes.
Watching the games.
Yes.
And saying, okay, well, this person always does this. This person has a tendency to step off on their left.
Yes.
Or whatever. So how can I how can we work with that? Or they've got this play that they like to focus on in the third quarter or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's data, 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 data. And they're just like so focused on.
Yes.
Instead of being focused on, hey, this person's winning or whatever. It's more like, okay, study these people. What are they doing? What makes that person more effective? Yes. Why are they more effective? Where are we slipping up in what we're doing?
Yes.
Instead of this person's just, you know, well, I don't like them and I don't like what they're doing. Shoving them down on the court and stuff. So petty.
It is
so petty.
But that's life. That's just how people are, because if I can shut you down or talk bad about you to make you feel bad about you being so great,
yeah,
then I don't have to improve. I don't have to get better. If I can just stop you from being so great by my words, my words is going to make you ungreat or not as good because I say that you're not good.
Right.
And it's just.
Let me wrap it up with this poem here.
Go ahead.
From Rudyard Kipling called If. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. Mm-hmm. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. Mm-hmm. If you can wait and not be tired of waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, mm-hmm. or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make your dreams your master, if you can think and not make your thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools. Wow. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss, if you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone and so hold on where there's nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose your common touch, if neither foe nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son.
That is good.
That's a deep poem,
that
man.
That is good.
That's a deep poem.
That is good. I like all that.
Because I was looking this up in reference to the term stiff upper lip. Stiff upper lip. Have you ever heard that term? Yes. You got to keep a stiff upper lip.
Yes.
Well, that term comes from the fact that a sign of fear is the trembling of the upper lip. You know? And so when you tell somebody to keep a stiff upper lip, it's like you got to grab inside of you and control that fear.
Inside of you.
Right, inside of you.
Yes.
So when that anger stirs up, or that spirit of bitterness and that spirit of attacking back or whatever.
Yes.
It's like, no, I'm a better man than that.
Yes, I'm a better man than
this.
I'm better. And that's, again, I love that. Because all that dealt with is you. It didn't say nothing about everybody else,
right.
What everybody else does. He said, they going to do what they do, but what are you doing? Your reaction, your attitude, your efforts, you putting in the thing that is right. And you mentioned those that hunger after righteousness, or they should be filled.
Right.
You know, you feel... If you just seeking to do the right thing, you're going to get filled. You're going to get filled. It's going to happen for you. But if you're worried about they're mad at me, they don't like me, that's wasted energy.
Wasted energy.
It's just wasted energy.
And, right. And that with that, thank you for coming, Chris.
I appreciate it.
And we'll see you later.